We'll call the meeting to order. The minute from April 1st, 2008, are in a package. Representative McNamara, you've studied the amendments carefully, I know. Would you like to move them?
Well, I didn't study the amendments, but I did study the minutes, and I will move them.
Oh, the minutes, I'm sorry.
No.
Yeah, thank you. Representative McNamara moves the minutes from April 1st, 2008. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And carries. And Representative Hausman, the chair would move House File 4070, the public facilities funding. Representative Hausman.
Mr. Chair, I'm not anticipating any particular outcomes, but I'm also, I have a motto of be prepared, and so I do have some vehicle bills, both the 4070 and 4072. We've chosen two of our high priority items, asset preservation for all of our public colleges and universities and clean water infrastructure. And if you will note, on both bills, we have added the section that I know you require, which is the duplicate appropriations on 4070 on page 3, section 3.
Okay, the chair will first of all, any discussion? Sorry. If not, the chair will renew the motion that House File 4070 be recommended, passed, and placed in the general registry. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. And then the chair would move that House File 4072 be recommended, passed, and placed in general registry.
Mr. Chair?
Representative? Yes.
Oh, just a question. Do these bills have enough capacity to hold hundreds of millions of dollars?
They do.
Enough room in these infrastructures, the springs and the tires?
Well, it's surprising. You might get a chance to vote on just a very, very small bill, too.
Thank you.
Representative Hausman, the same type of thing, and the second provision that was added, duplicate, is
at the lines 119 to 121.
So the chair, then, any discussion? Chair would renew his motion that House File 4072 be recommended to pass, placed in the general register. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And carried. Representative Huntley will take yours next.
You've been interesting, Dave.
Well, I think you should. Okay, Representative Huntley, you want to make a motion?
Mr. Chair, I would move that House File 3391 be recommended to pass and sent to the general register, I believe.
And Representative Huntley, there is an amendment. Do you want to take that first?
I will take that first. That's the A66-1 amendment. It's really to take care of a balance problem. The bill still meets the targets that I was given, but this is really just a correction.
And this is taking, since my understanding, some money from the Health Care Access Fund for the general fund expenditure that's within your target. Is that correct?
That's correct. And so I would move the 866-1 amendment.
Any discussion on that? Representative Holberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And so just so we're taking health care access fund money and putting into the general fund, so does it mean that it's not being spent on health care issues, or why the need to transfer it?
Mr. Chair and Representative Holberg, it is being transferred to the general fund, I believe, because there are some things involved with healthcare reform that are being done in the general fund.
So I think it is, to answer his question, being spent on health care.
Well, Mr. Chair, if we set up a health care access fund to fund certain things, then what is this money being spent for that does not fall within the parameters of the health care access fund?
Representative Huntley, can you answer the question?
I mean, Mr. Chair, we heard a lot about the governor's proposal to take money from the Health Care Access Fund and transfer to the general fund, and that was a really, really bad thing to do. And so I'm wondering why we're doing it here.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Huntley.
Mr. Chair and Representative Holberg, it is money that, in this bill, we're going to be talking about healthcare homes, in the reform bill, and there's an interaction with some of the things we're doing here in general fund for people who are in Minnesota Care. So if we do the healthcare homes, then there is an interaction with the general fund for those particular people in Minnesota Care. So it does relate to Minnesota Care, but it's general fund money, so we're going to transfer that money from the healthcare access fund to the general fund, so those people will get this service.
Representative Dean?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative, so are you saying that the fund transferred from the healthcare access fund over the partition that was set up within the, I believe, this committee, is being used for Minnesota Care outside of that fund? Is this going to be used for Minnesota Care then?
Representative Huntley?
Mr. Chair, that is correct. They are Minnesota Care people, but there is some interaction with the general fund.
And that clarification as well, I think this is 10 and 11. The next
and it's line. In the tail. Besides.
No,
tail.
Nine.
July 1st, 2009, which makes it the next fiscal year.
Oh, it's a strange
sentence. This is a tails issue, it's not a this year's biennial expenditure issue.
And Mr. Chair,
yeah, Representative Holbrook,
if I might then, is that reflected in this cost summary worksheet we have in front of us?
Let me ask Mr. Marks to answer that question.
Mr. Chair, Representative Holberg, not yet. If you look on the spreadsheet under Department of Human Services, there's a health care home line, and in fiscal 10 and 11, $1,728,000 and then $3,046,000. What this amendment would add is those same numbers in the next two lines, just like they're in there for fiscal 2009. It would show the healthcare access fund spending $1,728,000 in 10 and $3,046,000 in 11, and then revenue into the general fund of those same amounts in those same years. So it would add two more lines, a plus and a minus, for the healthcare access fund and the general fund in 10 and 11. That transfer is already in there for fiscal 2009.
Representative Holberg, you and I are both had conversations about controlling the tails and having a better mark. This helps that a little bit. Not a great deal, but it is a tails issue.
Well, then, Mr. Chair, then at some point I'd like somebody to tell me if you look at what happens to the health care access fund totals on the bottom of the sheet, you can see that it almost doubles from 09 to 2010, quite a large jump from 2011. I'd like to know at what point the healthcare access fund would require more revenue to sustain the growth in these programs.
Representative Holberg, we can try to get that answer for you. I don't know if projections are out past this next biennium or not. Representative Huntley, do you have?
There's still a, Mr. Chair and Representative Holberg, there will still be a relatively large surplus at the end of the next biennium.
And well, we can try to get the number for
2011 and
2012 and 2013.
We don't have completed fiscal notes for some of those.
And that's not unusual. I'm trying to quite understand what kind of goes back to the discussion we had today of how do you project what's going on in the next biennium, but we can try to get that for you.
Well, and Mr. Chair, I think that everybody recognizes the explosion of costs in the healthcare area.
Yeah.
And we appear to have new uses for the healthcare access fund while in the healthcare area. But at some point, I'm assuming we're going to run out of money in that fund as well, and that would be nice to know.
Representative Huntley.
Mr. Chair, we used to have, and I think it's still in law, that if the fund is going to go into a deficit, that we stop enrollments in Minnesota Care.
And Representative Holberg, that same type of projection would have been really helpful in 2001 when we did some of the reforms of tax policies as well. Representative Abler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And we, this is the Ways and Means Committee on the last stop before it goes to the floor, is that right? And so we, in the Finance Committee, we didn't have any numbers, and I'm glad there's some numbers that are coming together. And I understand the challenges in getting numbers, but maybe you can just give us one answer that would be helpful. Do you know the total they helped to access fund at the end of 2011 based upon these changes? Does somebody know that single number?
Mr. Mark says that for you.
Okay, thanks. Mr. Chair, from the February forecast, the balance in the healthcare access fund on at the end of 2011 would have been $403 million. That's cumulative, so if we take on here, as you take $43 million out in 9 and 81 million in 10 and so, and 138 million in 2011, you have to take all of those off that total. But
does that answer your question, Representative?
Well, Mr. Chair, I do have sort of the same kind of questions and trajectory questions, I guess. Sure. So that looks like it cuts the healthcare access. I'm just doing the math in my head here. That's 250 million. So there's one more year of healthcare access fund money left for 2012, and then it goes broke. If I just do the rough math, and I don't know what the increase would be. And Mr. Huntley, do you know from, I know there's a startup, the ramp up on some of these programs is a year or two, and then it kind of levels out. Do you have an idea about what happens? Like, if you look at the total on the chart here, the healthcare access fund total goes from 43 to 81 to 138. Does it level out at 138, or does it continue to go to 160 and then 200, or does anybody know that?
Representative Huntley.
Well, we've just done the projections for 2010-2011. As I said, I personally don't know what happens in 2012. I've heard that there may be a shortfall, and which means we would have to stop enrollment.
Any other discussion on the amendment?
But
Representative, I'll wait.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
But that does not include the effects of what we're hoping to do, which is to reduce spending on health care, and that's not accounted for in the fiscal model.
Other discussion on the amendment? If not, then Representative Huntley renews his motion that the amendment is labeled A66-1. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
And carries. Representative Huntley, do you want to just give a very brief overview? I think most people have had an opportunity, but you want to give a brief overview of this in the Ways and Means? And mostly, you've been given a target. Are you within your target?
Mr. Chair, I'm within my target. My target was about $44 million of healthcare access fund spending for the reform bill. This is a reform bill, and all the money in it now is coming from the healthcare access fund. And I could tell you the overall picture of the bill, or I can...
Well, why don't we, if the hour is late, and I know there's going to be lots of debate on this, I don't want to prevent anybody from asking questions. It's okay, can we go directly to questions? Representative Aver?
Well, thanks, and I think that's great. This bill wasn't available even online until about 3 o'clock this afternoon, and I've been trying to get a copy, and I'm not familiar with even some of the changes from finance personally, so I won't ask about the policy, and we'll discuss that. And this will be much more intense for discussion, but I think the money questions are valid for this committee in particular, and in terms of policy nuances, that's not for this committee. So maybe if I encourage members to focus on the money, that'd be productive use of our time. I remember saying all along some of the ideas that came out of the Healthcare Access Commission and some of our committee ideas are expensive, nice ideas to do in Minnesota Care, like the 1 month for free, and which apparently now costs like $10 million or something. Is that right? No, seven. Yeah, $10 million. Waiving the first month premium costs $10 million. And that seems to me like something that if I had a choice of $10 million to spend, I wouldn't do that. At what point, Representative Huntley, and I have a suspicion if I made a motion to take that out, it probably would stay in today, so I don't want to put us to an exercise that's non-productive in this committee. Maybe on the floor those will be coming up and by somebody, but can you tell me at what point, this is your proposal, I guess, and you've thought through the value. Do you have like an A, B, and C list of stuff that you think is really important to do, and could you share that with the committee as to what things you hope to really do and some things that, you know, like that's the 1 month free seems to me like a throwaway. when the money starts to crunch and somebody makes us worry about year four of this.
Mr. Chair and Representative Abler, in terms, I tell you what my number one priority is, and that's to expand Minnesota Care to 300% of poverty, basically for everyone that would be adults without kids and families with kids.
Mr. Representative Abler, is that the? I remember a few years ago you had a Plan A and a Plan B. They're coming through. Is that similar to that? I mean,
well, we can save your tax bill taxes or not. We could do that. That'd be interesting. Maybe I shouldn't go there.
Well, so far, the Democrats haven't adopted the Plan A, Plan B.
There may be time yet, Mr. Chair. There's still time in 22 legislative days yet. So,
Representative Abler,
somebody else ask it.
Okay,
I'll come back to you later.
Okay. Other questions? Representative Dean?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Huntley. In the last committee that this was heard was the Finance Committee, in which in that committee you presented a lengthy amendment to address many of the issues that had been brought out through the process of this bill from the various stakeholders. The biggest pieces of that was the health exchange, the assessment to hospitals, and level three and the recapture, those four issues. Could you briefly describe how the last amendment changed the bill? Because I think some of us who were not in the Finance Committee and were perhaps have seen this and been following it earlier want to know how that's integrated within this and how did it change.
Mr. Chair and Representative Dean, you are correct. The amendment in finance removed all references to the exchange and to 125 plans, so that's no longer in there. We never had in our bill a recapture from hospitals. We had a recapture from health plans and TPAs. That is no longer in here either. Those are the two big ones.
And
Representative Dean,
excuse me, Mr. Chair and Representative Huntley, the recharacterization of the level three.
We had several days discussion with the Minnesota Medical Association. They had some changes they wanted in both in the language for medical homes and in coordination of care, and they were also had some concerns about the language that related to level three. So we accepted their language, and what that does is put an intermediate step in where the we don't do total cost of care, but they can bid on you give us 1,000 diabetics of a certain category of risk, then we'll bid on that as a package, or they could bid on congestive heart failure, or they could bid on any one of those chronic diseases. And that is basically my emphasis in this whole bill is to save money by treating people with chronic diseases in the way they ought to be treated. And as you know, 4 years ago when we first started community measurement, we found out that only 6% of the diabetics in Minnesota were getting the total care that they were supposed to get. That leads to eye operations, it leads to kidney transplants, and it leads to having legs cut off. So if you can treat them right up front, you can save money. And I know you've heard the St. Mary's Blue Clinic story and the asthma stories. So what we want to do with the MMA amendment is to emphasize that where we're going, because that's where you can really save money in health care. You can improve people's health and save money if you keep them out of the hospital, basically. The MMA supported that. They now support this bill, except that they support that everything that's in this bill, except they're concerned about using health care access fund money for public health, which this bill has in it.
Dean?
And Mr. Chair and Representative Huntley, are you representing that the bill, the amendment that you put on in finance, I think that was commonly referred to as the MMA amendment, that the MMA signs off not only on the entirety of that amendment, but also on the entirety of the bill?
We have a letter from them. They sent us in saying that they do support the bill. Except for the use of healthcare access money for some of the public health initiatives.
Mr. Chairman and Representative, I'm wondering if we could have somebody from the MMA possibly come down just for 1 minute and possibly respond to that.
If you have a question, we usually don't take testimony, but if you have a question, there's somebody from the MMA that's present that would like to make a short answer to a question. And Representative Dean, when she's on her way down, if you can frame your question in a manner, and welcome to the committee. Representative Dean?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And do you want to give your name?
Identify yourself for the tape.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Member Sarah Nosnaski from the Minnesota Medical Association.
Welcome to the committee. Representative Dean?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Ms. Nosnaski. Just to the point that I brought up earlier, there was an 11-page amendment in the Finance Committee that was quite extensive and went through a number of things on payment reform, on risk adjustment, and some of the pieces that were brought out, also including on page 37, 37, 27, global modeling of healthcare reforms that deals with the Minnesota School of Public Health, Health Policy Management Division. Does the MMA, is this correctly being characterized as the MMA's amendment within that 11-page amendment, and does the MMA currently stand behind the entirety of this bill?
Mr. Chair and members, Representative Dean, that portion of the amendment was not part of the MMA amendment that we proposed to Representative Huntley on payment reform. The MMA supports the direction of payment reform now that level 3 has been removed. Our amendment and the language that we proposed to Representative Huntley was regarding the removal of the level 3 payment reform and instead replacing it with chronic care package pricing. And after discussions with Representative Huntley, we are comfortable now with payment reform in that form now that level 3 has been removed from the bill. So that is our comfort level and our support of the amendment.
Okay, thank you. Other questions? Mr. Nosnaski, is that correct? I'm sorry. I murdered your name. I'm sorry. Nosnaski. Okay.
I don't know whether the MMA was in support of this bill in its current form or not.
Would you be
I'm sorry. I'm not on the Health Committee. Some of the stuff I don't understand, but I did understand part of the question where he wanted to know whether or not support the bill or not.
Mr. Chair, members, the MMA believes strongly that that healthcare is time to make some changes in healthcare, and we support healthcare reform in general. Since 2005, we have been talking about the need for healthcare reform. You know, our physician's plan for a healthy Minnesota was published then, and then the Healthy Minnesota Partnership for Reform was released last year, and that report, many of the proposals that are being considered as part of the reform package are similar or the same as to the items that we have been advancing or pursuing as part of healthcare reform. Do we support the bill in its entirety? We support many of the main concepts, and we've been very appreciative of Representative Huntley's efforts to include us and be a part of the discussions, and we look forward to some additional time to work through any other concerns we might have.
And Mr. Chair, I'm thinking she probably took tap dancing lessons as a kid, but is there a yes or a no answer available for that question?
Mr. Chair and members, Representative Holberg, we support health care reform, and we believe this bill is significantly better than the bill that's moving through the Senate. And we believe that it's time to work on health care reform, and that something can be accomplished this year. And so we believe that it's necessary to keep moving the bill forward.
Is that a qualified yes?
I apologize if still maybe a tap dance in your words, Representative Holberg, but certainly there might be some opportunities to continue to refine the bill. I think we've talked with some of the stakeholders, and we're open to that discussion. I know Representative Huntley has been very responsive to our concerns, and we have some other things that I think Representative Huntley and his staff have agreed to work on, but we're supportive of the direction it's going.
Let me just say that if you are 100% satisfied with every portion of this bill, it's probably not a good bill. because you have to be a little bit upset. Representative Dean.
Well, Mr. Chair and Ms. Mazneski, the governor doesn't support the bill in the current form, but these are many of his initiatives, and he wants to wind up at the right place. So I think it's very important that, you know, we stand for the people we stand for, and you know, the physicians that you represent all across the state of Minnesota, both small providers and large, and probably where we are, we support the direction of the bill. As a caucus, we do not support the bill as it currently stands. So perhaps you are closer to our position in that, and can characterize it whichever way you'd like to do it. But that's the way I look at it.
Representative Dean, an hour is late. I won't go down to the direction of 2002 when the MMA was absolutely, totally against what the governor, I think, characterized as, forget it, where this is low-hanging fruit. And it's gone. So there's always differences of opinion from everybody. We appreciate you coming down. Thank you very much,
sir. Thank you, Mr. Chair. If I might just respond to Representative,
sure, you sure
one more of Representative Dean's comments. Certainly, we don't agree with everything that the governor and his commission has proposed as part of the commission's report, the Transformation Task Force report. And so we believe this bill is closer to something that we could support, and we're grateful for that. So as you indicated earlier, no, we may not be 100% supportive, but we support the direction of health care reform, and we're grateful for the committee's work and Representative Huntley's work on behalf.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Other questions? Representative Aver, did you have another question?
Technical one, and then I'm sure. A couple more questions. On the since the savings recapture stuff is out, there's an actuarial fee in the spreadsheet. Is that still in or something? The $152,000, is that an artifact or is that?
No, that's still supposed to be in there. We need to know if what we're doing is saving us money in terms of healthcare spending in Minnesota. And so that study needs to stay in there.
Oh, okay. Mr. Davis.
Representative Abel.
That's a study cost, but there is no, it's a thing if, for future purposes that might be beneficial to how much we're saving compared to projections. Is that kind of what that's?
That would be.
Representative Huntley.
Okay. And I have
Representative Abel.
On this global modeling, I don't even know what it is, but what does that cost? For the grant that we're giving out.
Do you have an answer to that?
That appeared in finance, and it wasn't heard in any of the policy committees, I don't think.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Huntley, yes.
It's we think we didn't change the language. It says funding available, but we have been told that the United Way is going to fund this. So it really won't be state money.
Okay, so the commission says they'll award a grant, still award a grant, yeah. So they're going to award somebody else's money. Okay. And I have
like the governor.
Out of his re-election campaign, might need that for other purposes. On the level three, and this is a policy question, but I'll keep it brief. It does involve payments to providers, so it's money, I guess. On page 35 or 36, I guess, maybe I'll just ask it a different way. The level three currently is now based upon care coordination and baskets of care for a diabetic or a depression person or whatever those conditions are listed. That, and if you don't have those conditions, you're not going to be discovering a level three provider near you anytime soon. Is that what the bill is?
I think the language says those conditions, but it would not be limited to those. I mean, if a provider wanted to just cover those chronic diseases, he wouldn't have to do anything else at a level three.
Mr. Chen.
Representative Abram.
And maybe a lot of this can be discussed in a private discussion, but I think that given this was a significant change, I want to commend the chair for some of those points that are, the bill is a little shorter than it used to be, and some of those points were very contentious and move the bill closer, so I want to hope to get some credit for that part of it. But for instance, if you could explain to me what it means on line 36.5, where it says all political subdivisions that offer health benefits must pay providers based on package prices for all participants, Is that just for those, is that an artifact from old level three, or is that just for those six or seven conditions that we're now going to pay based on the package price?
Representative Huntley?
It's just for those conditions that are listed there.
Right. Thank you. And then
President Weber.
And then section 13, line 36.28, provider pricing. And so those pricing for those conditions, is this just conditions pricing for those conditions? So that we're talking about, is that also correct?
That would be it. And again, and there is language in this bill, Mr. Chair and Representative Ablers, require a provider to list their prices, and they can't vary that price to other people. They can have one price.
Okay. And Mr. Chair, I'm just about done. And you'll appreciate my ending point here. I'm going to express some concern about some of these nice things we're doing in the Minnesota Care work, and that will ferret itself out, I imagine, through the process. Mr. Chair, there is custom and usage for taking things out 4 years and having an absolute cliff, which I think was in the property tax takeover bill that we both voted for, I think, in a different time, under a different governor. That was a good idea.
We can always want to take our votes back. So hindsight is always 20/20.
So our duty is to balance out 4 years, and 4 year and 1 day, who can tell that, I guess. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, other discussion on the bill? If not, then Representative Huntley renews his motion that House File 3391, as amended, be recommended to pass and re-referred to the, or in place on the general order. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And opposed? And carried. And Madam Members, I know it's late, but we got one very, very short bill left, and that's mine. And Chair, I would move that House File 4023 be recommended to pass and placed on the general registry.
All right, thank you, Representative Solberg and members. Are there any questions? Representative Solberg, I'm sorry.
Madam Chair, this is just merely a technical that conforms to the February forecast. And if you look at the co-authors, it's myself, Representative Holberg, the lead Republican, Representative Carlson is the chair of the finance, and Representative Garofalo, the lead Republican on the finance. And I hope that gives everybody comfort that it is technical in nature and establishes our base.
All right. Are there any questions or comments about the bill? All right. Hearing none, Representative Solberg renews his motion that we pass House File 4023. All those in to the general register. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Hearing none, the bill has passed, and the meeting is adjourned.